Just about everybody tries at one point or another to play the guitar. Many people lose interest and move on. Glenn Kurtz didn't. He fell in love with the instrument when he was 8 years old. He was invited to play with Dizzy Gillespie on the Merv Griffin Show when he was just a teenager and went on to study classical guitar at the New England Conservatory of Music. Glenn Kurtz's future in music seemed to be bright and beckoning. But then he abandoned the instrument after trying and failing to have a career as a professional performer. For the next 10 years, he rarely touched his guitar. He became a professor of literature and a writer. But then something about the guitar called him back. Glenn Kurtz writes about this in his new book, Practicing, A Musician's Return to Music. He joins us from our studios in New York. Mr. Kurtz, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
And can we talk about the past first? You were a prodigy.
Well, I was very precocious, I think. And I started out as a folk guitarist. I mean, I was 8 years old. I learned to play chords and sing songs. And I got very into rock and roll when I was 12 or 13 and memorized every note on the Allman Brothers' Fillmore East album and then got very involved in jazz. But it was really when I went to see Segovia when I was 17 that I decided that classical was the direction I wanted to pursue. And I really devoted myself to playing. And yeah, I had some success.
What did you like about it?
Well, just the ability to make music, I think. Just that physical pleasure of hearing the sounds and then being able to play them and feeling the instrument vibrate against you. It was an absolutely intoxicating feeling. Mm.
You have a remarkable passage in your book. Interesting that you'd phrase it that way. Is your book nearby as well as your guitar?
Yes, it is. This is when I'm sitting down to practice again. My attention warms and sharpens, and I shape the notes more carefully. I remember now that music is vibration, a disturbance in the air. I remember that music is a kind of breathing, an exchange of energy and excitement. I remember that music is physical, not just in the production of sounds, in the instrumentalist's technique, but as an experience. Making music changes my body, eliciting shivers, sobs, or the desire to dance. I become aware of myself, of these sensations that lie dormant until music brings them out. And in an instant, the pleasure, the effort, the ambition and intensity of playing grip me and shake me awake. I feel as if I've been wandering aimlessly until now, as if all the time I'm not practicing, I'm a sleepwalker.
I feel the need for a musical interlude. Is your guitar close enough you could play something for us?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I mention in the book is a passage by Scott Joplin, a song called Weeping Willow Rag.
At one point in the book, you referred to the guitar as, I think, a most misunderstood instrument.
Actually, if you go back into the 15th century, you'll find references to the guitar as the instrument of sin and as a symbol of sexual permissiveness and political subversiveness. The electric guitar, in some sense, revived that image because in the mid-19th century, in the great sort of swelling of romanticism, the guitar got sidelined from the mainstream of musical culture when the piano and the violin really dominated and you had performers like Liszt and Paganini, and the guitar couldn't compete in that world, and the great composers of that era didn't write for it. And so it developed this image as this very sweet and mysterious but gentle instrument. So I think it's an instrument that's been somehow trapped by its image.
Schubert and Wagner play the guitar?
Yeah, that's right. This was the big surprise to me. Schubert, for many years when he was too poor to own a piano, played on the guitar. And Wagner apparently used it to relax with.
As we mentioned, your career in music certainly seemed assured. You got attention at such an early age. Looking back on it, what happened?
It's a very competitive business, especially for something like classical guitar, which is a solo instrument, and so it's not in orchestras. You really have one career path as a performer. And the thing that most classical guitarists tend to do when they don't end up as performers is play at weddings. And after I graduated from the New England Conservatory, I moved to Vienna and I was pursuing a solo career. And at some moment, I just realized that the career that I had dreamed of having, I wasn't going to reach this ideal. And it was a crushing realization.
So crushing, it became almost painful to pick up the guitar?
Yeah, in fact, it became entirely painful. I often liken it to a breakup of a relationship when you have invested so much of your identity in this twosome, in this relationship. For me, it was with the guitar. And then when the relationship ends, you almost don't know who you are anymore, and you have to step away in order to find out who you are independent of this relationship.
Can you describe the moment when you decided to try and pick up that relationship?
Well, a long time had passed, and I think with a breakup like that, sometimes the wound is so deep it kind of goes underground, and after a certain amount of time it comes out again and demands to be addressed. And I started to wonder what had happened to this thing that was so meaningful to me, that I had devoted so much of my life to, and that now was just absent from my life. And then also, I had picked up some journals that I had kept when I was a student at the conservatory. And I met a person in these journals who was so excited and so passionate about what he did. And I envied that. I realized I had lost that feeling when I quit music. And so a lot of things contributed to making me want to sit down again and really let music become something new that I could take pleasure in.
Give a certainly imprecise analogy, but I remember years ago we interviewed a stock car race driver, Guy F. Thompson. He was at the point of deciding whether or not he could continue as a stock car racer, and he said, if somebody gave me a front row seat to the Indy 500, I wouldn't go. But when I hear the engines, I have to be out there. He had to be a participant. He couldn't be a spectator.
I relate to that a lot. I think for me, one of the career options that was available and that I was pursuing when I was in Vienna was to teach guitar. But if I couldn't be playing it, I didn't want to have anything to do with it.
So later in your life, is it hard to be casual in your feelings toward the guitar after you had been so singular and passionate?
I think that if you achieve a certain degree of proficiency at anything and then you lose that, it's very hard to do it less well later. But I think my relationship with music was, for me anyhow, even more intense than that. Mm-hmm. After you lose some great passion in your life or a dream that you've had collapses, it often takes a really long time before you can come to terms with what that loss meant to you. But then I realized when I did start to play again that this is what practicing is about. You're striving for some unattainable goal. And consequently, every day, you're going to end up not achieving what you dream of. And yet, the next day, somehow, you start again and try again. And the fact that you don't achieve what you dream of each time you sit down is actually what leads you forward and makes you continue. And I think that it's true for anything. It doesn't matter if it's music or dance or acting or an art form or baking a cake or parenting even. I think that this idea of practice means that you come back to it almost no matter what happens.
Mr. Kurtz, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure being here.
Glenn Kurtz, speaking with us and playing his guitar in New York, is the author of the new book, Practicing: A Musician's Return to Music. And you can read an excerpt about how Glenn Kurtz got back to practicing the guitar at npr.org/books. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.